Harih Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastama Vilevishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 75. The cowherd girl said, O friends, those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Maharaj Nanda are certainly fortunate, as these two sons enter the forest, surrounded by their friends, driving the cows before them. They hold their flutes to their mouths and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision. Srila Sanatana Goswami writes, they begin by referring indirectly to Krishna as idam param phalam, the highest result for the eyes, to keep the object of the highest result confidential. They should not directly reveal their sentiments for Krishna, right? So this is a very interesting and very important aspect of our sampradaya, is that one wants to bring out the position of pure love for Krishna as the main primary element. And to do that, then generally you need some examples. And so, generally, the more detailed examples will be anyone else other than the gopis. Right? So we see the gopis themselves, that's where it's from. Right? They're the ones that do that. So, even though they're talking about Krishna with the cowherd boys and all that, it's about Krishna. But at the same time, it's Krishna with all of that. It's not just Krishna alone. It's Krishna is so wonderful because he does all these nice things. He interacts with the cowherd boys, everyone else in Vrindavan. He has this very nice, wonderful mood, and he's so beautiful. But their specific affection then is in the conjugal mood. But that's not brought out so much. You hear it here and there, but you'll get into more details from the other groups. You won't use them as the main. Like that. If it's something about, you'll get into something and then you'll pull back again. You understand? That's just how it works. It's a very bewildering to the masculine mentality that if something is progressed in a degree of intimacy between a man and a woman, the man, then whatever degree it's gone to, he'll take it that that's the standard position of starting. But for the woman, it will go back to zero again. And then you have to bring it forward to that level of intimacy. And that'll do that basically most every time. So that's just how it works. Shyness is one of the qualities. Indirect, elusiveness, and contrariness. So even though you want to say one thing, you'll give example of another. Even you are talking about the thing, you'll be elusive. Or it won't even come out so much because of shyness. It's standard. So that has to be understood, is that when we're dealing with the gopis, then they'll bring out a certain amount, because you can't actually explain the love they have. And the secondary details are just that, the way they express the love. So the love being the most important, the secondary is only important to how much it expresses the love. So they won't express so much in their own, that directly. They may bring it up to that point, and then they'll pull back again. Right? So it's not that once it's been, it just keeps going like that. No, it always again starts back. So, or they cannot directly indicate him because they are controlled by a manifestation of intense prema. We do not know a higher sight for the eyes in Vrindavan or any other sight for the eyes, though other people may know something else. Others may find something else to be more beautiful, but for the gopis, there is nothing more beautiful. That's it. Right? Krishna, whatever he's doing. So it's not that, only when he's with the gopis is that beautiful. No, it's all beautiful. It's just that when he's with Radharani, that's the most beautiful. Right? But the point is in any condition, he's with Mother Jashoda, they appreciate it. He's with the cowherd boys, he appreciates it. He's with the cows, they appreciate it. They speak with irony. Since we cannot see him now, our eyes are not functioning successfully. Right? Because the perfection of the eyes is to see Krishna. They're only hearing the flute. So technically they're saying, we're not actually attaining the perfection of the eyes. Though they were about to see his face in some place, at some time by some means in Braja, they were eager to see his face while he played in the forest. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishnamurti. Persons who are constantly, because they can't, you know, seeing him in the village, they have to be more careful. They see him in the forest, they can be more open. Because in the forest means without the cowherd boys. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, persons who are constantly engaged in the transcendental meditation of seeing Krishna internally and externally, by thinking of him playing the flute, entering the Vrindavan forest, and tending the cows of the cowherd boys, have already attained the perfection of samadhi. Samadhi, trance, means absorption of all the activities of the senses in a particular object. Right, so, and the gopis indicate that the pastimes of Krishna are the perfection of all meditation and samadhi. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that anyone who is always absorbed in the thought of Krishna is the topmost of all yogis. So that is the perfection. What they're talking about of yogis, they are the best yogis. Of devotees, they're the best devotees. So what they talk about is the best. The BBT purport points out, the gopis were aware that their mothers or other elder persons might hear their romantic words and disapprove. And thus they said, Akshan Vatam Phalam, to see Krishna is the goal for all persons and not simply ourselves. In other words, the gopis indicated that since Krishna is the supreme object of love for everyone, why couldn't they also love him in spiritual ecstasy? Right? It means that all the Brajvasis love, so then in that way then they'll see. Because if they don't mention the conjugal aspect, then everybody else, you know, has no problem. Another gopi said, dressed in a charming variety of garments upon which their garlands rest, and decorating themselves with peacock feathers, lotuses, lilies, newly grown mango sprouts, and clusters of flower buds, Krishna and Balaram shined forth magnificently among the assembly of cowherd boys. They look just like the best of dancers appearing on a dramatic stage, and sometimes they sing. They saw all these different aspects of Krishna that he does, then they all attract the mind. Basically, anything Krishna does will attract the gopis. But especially then they're bringing out, point by point, the various aspects. And as a side point, very side point, so they say dressed in charming varieties of garments, right? And it's themselves, meaning both of them. And they say, Krishna and Balaram shine forth with peacock feathers, lotuses, lilies. No. So the point is, it's just stuff from the forest. So Balaram also wears peacock feathers. You know, they find some, they pick it up, they put it on. Krishna will always wear one, even if he, before going to the forest. Right? He'll have a peacock feather. Right? But the others, then, when they find them, they'll put them on. Why you won't put them on? Right? What else are you going to do? I would expect since tomorrow is the Purnima, they'll stop practicing after that. They'll play at the elephant procession, and then you won't hear them practicing. But they've picked up the Bengali stuff now. The Bengali Kali drums and stuff like that. Hmm?
They will start something else.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying over the years they've become more, because that's their service, is playing the drums, so they've slowly developed it and made it nice. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, wondering whether they should reveal their true emotions by double meanings. They conceal their emotions with great attention in the second verse. Because of intense feelings of love, they can no longer conceal that love in the third verse. That's because it just comes out. It's not that it's just some fun. or they're in your face. It's just they can't control. And then when they can, they'll pull it back again. In the fourth and other verses, they can conceal their love to some degree. So you'll see, it'll be in waves. It's not just, that's what I'm saying. It's a feminine aspect.
So then, according to this, we also have seen this with Mother Yashoda, some emotions she's able to control, but some it's just...
Yes.
Is this the difference between Anubhava and Sattvika Bhava?
I think it's just the intensity that's there, because the Anubhava is also that Mother Yashoda ran forward to see Krishna. That would be an Anubhava, like that. But the intensity was so great, she couldn't control herself, even though she was in front of the elders. You know, in that, in, after the Kali Yuga.
Yeah,
like that. So, I would say is that, yes, it can be any of them. It's just when the intensity is so great, then you might have. But then, you know, the Anubhava is the actions, that'll be harder. The Sattvika Bhava is then you can blame it on something else. You know, the Palindas are, you know, peeling onions or something, you know, or... You know, some disease is there, therefore they've gone, you know, they've become stunned. But the Anubhavas would be harder to cover. Okay. Krishna and Balaram were like two dancers in a dancing arena. This indicates that they would also dance and express their joy at will, and that even the other cowherd boys would play instruments and dress skillfully. Right? Because Krishna's dressed nice, then you also dress like him to be, you know, involved and interact with him. Otherwise, dancing would not be so beautiful. They were more splendid here than in Braja, because in Braja they could not sing or dance with the same abandon, right? Because then Mother just showed his house, in their own house, they, you know, there's, they have to follow the rules, because you're the kid, you know, and your mom's the boss, so therefore then, you know.
Limits.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah, so, but here they can go out, they can, you know, dress up more, they can do, that's why they pick up all the minerals and the peacock feathers and the flowers. Then they can really dress up. And then when they sing and dance, it's more of a show. It's more fun. There's a gradual development in the first five verses that the gopis speak. The intention of the previous verse was the cowherd boys had success for their eyes since they could see Krishna at that time. The present verse expresses not only do they see him, but they experience happiness with singing and dancing amidst a group where the two are present. They also sang, or they were glorified by others singing special songs, or they became proud in singing. The other cowherd boys would say, "Of you two, who is the best singer? Let the best one sing." In this way, the two became proud and sang. This is the particular sweetness of their play. Oh, these cowherds are fortunate, we gopis are unfortunate, since we cannot freely associate with them because of their fear of public opinion. This unspread, because they have to be a public opinion, because it's Parakiyo Rasa. Right? Krishna goes home in the evening after work and doesn't come back again to the Shabha until the morning, and he spends the whole night at home with his wives then and kids. Is anyone going to complain in Dwarka? No. Because it's Swakiyo Rasa. So that's why the Parakiyo is more intense. So it's there, but it can't be expressed. So that's more difficult. You understand? If it's there and can be expressed, then, you know, it has its taste. But if it can't be expressed, though the opportunity for it is there, does that make sense? In other words, the vibhava aspects are there, but you can't manifest the anubhavas. That's more intense than if you can freely. So that's why the separation is greater than the sambhog. But what's the separation about? Meditating on sambhog. Does that make sense? So it's not that it's just separation and that's it. No, it's the separation means you're absorbed in meditating on sambhog.
So it's the experience of both.
Yes, the experience of both, but because they're non-different, but you can tell the difference. Right? That's the Achintabheda Veda Tattva. Like Krishna's name are not different, but they're different. But they're non-different. Right? So the devotee's chanting Krishna's name. He's with Krishna, so they're non-different. But the feeling of being with Krishna in his name is different from being with Krishna in person. So just like they remember Krishna, even though it's exactly the same as when they're with him, it will give a different flavor. That's the influence of yoga maya. So we're thinking, oh no, but they're suffering. But no, it's just another aspect of yoga maya and how they're enjoying remembering and being associated with Krishna. So, yeah. This unspoken statement is understood from their emotions. The statement may be added to later verses also. It means because sometimes it may come up and then it'll disappear again. The reason for frustration has been stated here, fear of public opinion. And that's always there. That's what makes it Parakya Rasa, right? Because it's unknown. It's so that aspect, it brings it out. It intensifies. Another gopi said, "My dear gopis, what auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste for us gopis, for whom that nectar is actually meant?" The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, shed tears of pleasure. His mother, the river on whose bank the bamboo was born, feels jubilation, and therefore her blooming lotus flowers are standing like hair on her body. And so they're appreciating the position of everybody else. So those that claim, oh no, we're only interested in conjugal rasa and we'll only read those things. But you see, is those in conjugal rasa, they're appreciating everybody else's service. Like that. Does that make sense? Because of the nature of it. Because it's something that's supposed to be hidden. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The gopis complain, "The flute has created a problem for us, causing us an ocean of disgrace." That is expressed in this verse. The gopis continue their protest. "What piety did it perform to be Krishna's wife? None. It took birth as a non-moving creature, a low birth from performing no pious activities," right? Because you're born as a tree, not because of pious activities. That's how they're looking at it. Right? So then what did they do? Right? While you see Lakshmi Ji, she does so much austerity to get Krishna like this and that, you know, but what has this bamboo done? That's their complaint. Right? "But yet the flute drinks the nectar from Damodar's lips. Can that be tolerated? No, because it should be the gopi's right to taste that nectar. Krishna was born as a gopa, and we were born as gopis. Therefore, we have a right to taste those lips, not the flute." Right? Because gopas and gopis go together, not gopas and bamboo. Right? That's their point. So that's the disgrace, is that it's meant for us, and the flute is stealing it all, right? And just leaves a little bit. Because he plays the flute all day. They don't get to be with Krishna all day, and the flute's with him all day, so the flute gets more. So in their opinion, it's, you know, yes. This is the real, I say, Protestant.
Yes.
Yeah, this other stuff's
Antifa.
You know, falls short, yes. "Furthermore, the flute has the audacity to manifest a male form and still enjoy. Furthermore, this enjoyment is done in unmarried state, utterly alone, and by thievery." Right? So they're just finding all of whatever faults are there. Because that's one of the things to find faults in others. It'll be one of the things in connection with the ecstasy of devotional service. So it's an ornament of the gopis. Like that. But at the same time, is they have other ornaments where they're always humble. Oh, I found a nice definition Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives of audarya. It means that you're humble in any situation. That's audarya. So it's not just you're you know, compassionate. It means you're always humble. That's how you can be compassionate. So, interesting. Kind of puts a slight different slant on, you know, being a big preacher. "The flute, a flute announces it to the real owners of the treasure, ourselves, by blowing air. But this is not just regular blowing air. It is the sound of enjoyment the flute gets by association with Krishna." So he's getting the nectar, And he's stealing it as a thief. It's not his in any way, shape, or form, right? They have not yet once acknowledged that in any way is he entitled to get any of the nectar, right? And then on top of that, he announces to the gopis about his enjoyment of getting the nectar while they're not getting it. And we must keep hearing that sound. So much the flute enjoys that it leaves nothing left, not even a morsel. Though we are the rightful claimants of that lip nectar, the flute leaves nothing for us, not even his remnants. Such is his audacity. It's not like he takes and leaves them some, you know, out of his, you know, so-called generosity. But here's, no, he just takes it all. Because the rivers see the flute enjoying the nectar of his lips, they became happy, blooming with lotuses, like standing of hair on end. All the trees, pouring out their honey, seem to weep in joy, just as devotees on hearing the glories of the Lord shed tears of joy and have their hair stand on end. Hearing the sound of the flute, the rivers and trees become decorated with the symptoms of Baba. The rivers are female friends of the flute, and the trees are male friends or messengers. The flute, rivers, and trees are all our enemies. Therefore, where should we hide the flute so that it does not get the nectar of Krishna's lips? Then Sanchari Bhava of envy manifested in the gopis. Right? So they have, it's that prema, but you see this underlying thing that comes up in this verse, that of envy. Right? That Sanchari Bhava. So that's what we mean. It'll come up in that. The next verse, other Sancharis will come up. Right? So, yeah. And the Anubhava is that they are saying all these prayers and like this. Yeah, so that's why you see it's always a pastime that gopis are trying to steal the flute, because the flute's their enemy. Yes?
Anubhava, they're saying the prayers, and Sanjari, they're saying
prayers? No. That they're saying prayers and that they're expressing, that's an Anubhava. Glorification and that like that. Just like the cowherd boys, they'll glorify or sing or encourage or dance, or these are all Anubhavas there. We're saying the Sanjari, that's envy. That mood has come up. And so that will then flavor how they're saying the particular verse. Right? Because we see is that the Sanchari is connected with the Stai Bhava. Like that. The Stai Bhava being applied through the Vibhava gives the Anubhava. But somehow or another the Sanchari is connected more directly with the Stai Bhava. Like that. But it's not that they don't nourish each other. That's the thing, is that we analyze them separately, but they all function together. You know, it's karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga are studied separately, but they function together as buddhi yoga. So, yeah, so in the same way the bhavas go on like that.
Maharaj, the Sanchari bhava is basically an internal emotion because of which the effect is Anubhava over here,
sure. Yes, but the Anubhava is coming from the Vibhava. So yeah. Krishna playing his flute is a Udipan. And from that then it arises that love, and from that love then they express things, but then the moods in which they express it at the various times, that's the Sanchari Bhava.
Yes. Mark? So can we say that all the three bhavas manifest when Stai Bhava mixes with Vibhava?
Yes.
And then the whole process. That's
why sometimes they just refer to any of them as Anubhavas. But if they're being specific, then they'll point out which one it is. But otherwise, you can call Anubhavas, Satvika Bhavas, and Sanchari Bhavas as Anubhavas. Because they're all a result of the Stai Bhava mixing with the Vibhava. Like that. So that's what's happening. But then it's just a matter of there being more, like here he's being more specific. So we see sometimes they just say and then all these Anubhavas come, they're not being specific. And then sometimes they're being specific. So because here he wants to point out that in one prayer this mood is coming up. You know, they're worried about the fear, you know, of the social thing. So fear is in one. In this one it's envy. Right, and then the other one, then it, you know, that appreciation, but at the same time is that, you know, they're feeling bad because it's supposed to be them, so they're hiding. But, you know, you get all these different. Is that?
Maharaj, is the Sanchari
and the Vyabhichari
the same?
Sanchari and Vyabhichari are the same. And they're sometimes translated as existential and sometimes as
disturbing.
Disturbing.
No, they're not transitory.
Transitory. Acute. Sometimes they're called acute because they just come up suddenly and go away. Yeah, so it has all those different kind of names. Because it's like, what's the English word for these? Right, it's a common thing, right? No, it's like we've been discussing it now for, what, 5 years, and we're just starting to, oh, okay. You know, like that. So, because there aren't, the West doesn't have words for these. Because this is actual positive emotion, while we're used to just removing the negative. Like that, yeah. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, the lakes and the rivers are considered to be the mothers of the trees because the trees live simply by drinking water. So the waters of the lake and rivers of Vrindavan were in a happy mood, full of blossoming lotus flowers, because the waters were thinking, how is it that our son, the bamboo rod, is enjoying the nectar of Krishna's lips? The bamboo trees standing by the banks of the rivers and the lakes were also happy to see their descendants so engaged in the service of the Lord. Just as persons who are advanced in transcendental knowledge take pleasure in seeing their descendants engaged in the service of the Lord. Right? So, therefore, if we're preaching and all that, or in some way, and then those who we're associating with, they take up Krishna consciousness, become nicely situated, or even develop more than us, then we're happy to see. Right, because it's the process is going on. So he's getting this nectar that the trees and the bamboo and the river is not getting. Like that, but they're happy. So he says like that. That way then the advanced and transcendental knowledge, they take pleasure in the same way. Yes.
Is flute
a jiva?
I
would expect that he's internal potency. Right, because he's always there. Because on Krishna and his person, then it's him, it's Balaram, it's his internal potency. The jivas are there as the kastubajan. So I would doubt that he's a jiva. You know.
So the flute is envy, the flute is just excuse, just increase the
jasa. It's envy, it's just like... But the point is that you have those things, it's there. You can get, the jealousy can extend to even non-moving things. Because you have to remember who's speaking here. The Radharani. So that Madananayaka Mahabhava, that one of the symptoms of it is if she's in that jealous mood, even the non-moving living entities and all other living entities manifest that jealous mood. It's so full that even the trees in that manifest that mood, which normally they would never do. Does that make sense? So for these to come out, then it's not a problem. So these are... It's not that they don't have to do that. They don't have to do any of this. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's called pastimes. Pastimes means to express the devotion. Therefore, then, you know, it's not that it's a duty. You know, one of the things, the checklist, okay, you know, someone who's a gopi, are you envious of the flute? Well, I don't know. I kind of thought the flute was nice. I said, sorry, you know. Yeah. Wrong answer.
There's a trapdoor in the floor.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we always have to see is, yes, they don't have to do anything, but the point is they want to do. And that's what's important, they want to express. So it's not that they have a script writer and then they're following the script and, you know, stuff like that, and they have to do, you know, how do you say, Radharani bashes the flute, take two, you know, like that, and, you know. Like that. And because of the ecstasies, then they keep forgetting the line, so, you know. Gopis glorify the song of the Krishna's flute, take 723, you know, like that. But no, they don't have to do that. This is just the natural manifestation. What we do here is a reflection of that. right? But here we do, because we don't, we think we're not going to be able to maintain, we're not going to do. I'm the doer, so therefore because I do, I get things. But there it's just about pleasing Krishna. So that's why you do. You want to please Krishna, that's why you do things. So,
is it more like improv theater?
Yeah, without the false ego.
Yeah. So, the gopis, this is their expression, this is their vision.
Yes.
But the question is whether, you know, whomever they describe, do they actually feel what is described here?
That's why it's how you say, the those who are swabhava, or those who are, what was the other two? Swajati. Same group. So she's only going to be saying this to intimate friends. So it'll be those who are members of her group. So the Ashtasakhi, the main Manjaris, like this, they're always with her. So she'll be saying this with them.
This is their emotion.
This is their emotion, they all feel it. So that's the whole point of the resonance, the sympathetic strings, is they're so perfectly tuned that when you strike the main string, the others have this exact same mood. So the, whatever mood Radharani's in, they have the same mood. But it never has the intensity of Madanayaka Bhava. It has that, what was it, can't remember. They have that second level. But all the other gopis just have the first level. Like that. That's all gopis in Vrindavan have that level of Mahabhav in conjugal rasa. And only a few cowherd boys who are intimate, they come to the level of Mahabhav, but it's not conjugal. It's just their friendship, the Shakya. And so all have that. But only in Radharani's group, then they have that second level. And that level is compatible with her first, you know, with her level. So that's what's never been given before, because no one's ever tasted. That's what's unique about Lord Chaitanya, because Krishna's tasting the mood of Radharani, but in that Madanayaka Bhava. So how Radharani sees, and then tasting that, because in line with that, then the Sakis and the Nitya Sakis, then they have that, they resonate that same flavor. So you see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's sometimes when he tastes those other moods also. So then he's seeing Radha and Krishna going into a cave, and he's assisting in some way. So then he's taking the mood of the maid service. Mm-hmm. Another gopi said, "Oh, friend, because they're happy, but at the same time they're jealous. That's the whole thing. Ladies can do that." Yeah. You know, they can be totally happy for their friend that it's all working out, and be completely jealous at the same time. Another gopi said, "Oh friend, Vrindavan is spreading the glory of the earth, having obtained the treasure of the lotus feet of Krishna, the son of Devaki." Footnote 25. The acharyas point out that the name Devaki also refers to Mother Jashoda, as stated in Brihad Vishnu Purana. Dve namni nandabharyaya jashoda devaki ticha atasakyam abhutasya devakya sauri jayaya. The wife of Nanda had two names, Jashoda and Devaki, and also Devaki. Therefore it was natural that she, the wife of Nanda, develop a friendship with Devaki, the wife of Sauri, Vasudeva. They have the same names. So then when they're talking about Devaki, so sometimes the prayers or songs or different things we see that it mentions about the son of Devaki, then it has, it can either be, depending on the context, meaning how he's from Mathura. But generally, when we're talking about Vrindavan, and especially the gopis, then it would be son of Mother Jashoda. It's just, as we said, being indirect, being elusive, is standard. Right? That's just the way it is. So you see, So then the Vedas are harder to understand because they're actually written in that style. They're written in obscure vocabulary. So even though it's funny, here only the real intellectuals get into it, but actually the concept of it comes from the gopis and the Vrindavan, yes. Obscure means it's like this, Devaki calling the son of Devaki. That's obscure, because normally the son of Devaki means the wife of Vasudeva. Right? But here it's obscure because it actually means Jashoda. You know, so it just means there. Or in the Vedic literature, that the Lord is sitting in the Sika. Okay? So when we would hear that, what would we think? Yeah, he's sitting on the back of your head. I always thought there was something back there. Yeah, but an obscure meaning of Sika is the heart. So since we know he's not sitting on the back of your head, then that means you have to use the obscure meaning, which means in the heart.
It's hidden.
Hidden. You know, not directly obvious. It's like that. So the Vedic is like that. But the classical, then you generally always use the direct meaning.
Is it to... I mean, if you're impure, if you have false ego and you approach this, you will have a tendency to deviate from the actual meaning. Depending.
Oh, no, you won't even know what the actual meaning is.
No, but I'm saying, is it to keep people... we shouldn't preach the glories of the Lord to those without faith? Is it something like that?
Yeah, but it's a matter of Krishna. I would say it's more of the element that Krishna reciprocates whatever you want. It's because the intellectuals don't want a conclusion,
right. So
therefore they can't find one. Right, but those who want a conclusion, then it's very obvious.
Narayan Sukta, the line, Tasya Shikhaya Madhe Paramatma Vyavasthita.
Yes.
Refers to the heart.
Yes, it's referring to the heart. Shikhaya Madhe Paramatma, so he's not near, tangled up in your hair. And then when you tighten the knot, then he gets all, you know, arms sticking out in different directions and stuff like that. No. Sitting in the heart. The peacocks dance madly when they hear Govinda's flutes. And when other creatures see them from the hilltops, they all become stunned, right? Because they'll dance so nicely. Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the forest of Vrindavan, being the place of Krishna's pastimes, has now become even more sweet. Therefore, let us go there to see that place. There is no fault in doing that. With this in mind, one gopi spoke. Right? Because that's, in other words, that's the mood behind it. Right? That they're speaking this verse. Vrindavan is spreading the glories of the earth, especially as being better than Swarga, because the earth is marked with the lotus foot symbols of flag and thunderbolt of the son of Jashoda. This is not possible even in Vaikuntha, right? Because Krishna doesn't go to Vaikuntha. He expands as Narayana because that's their mood, that's how they reciprocate. So in that form, he comes. So you won't see Krishna's feet as in Vrindavan in Vaikuntha. You won't see him in Swarga. You'll only see him here, you know, in Gokul. Does that make sense? And you're talking about Golok, then in the Gokul part of Golok. In that place, the peacocks pray for Krishna to play his flute, saying, make us dance. According to the rhythm established by Krishna, the peacocks make a circle around Krishna and dance, while Krishna dances and plays his flute. Satisfied with Krishna's flute playing, the peacocks offer their tail feathers as a sign of appreciation. Krishna, in the custom of normal musicians, takes the gifts with glee and puts them in his turban. So he's wearing and then they give more, like that. So they come around and then they dance. So in the spiritual world, they're doing that to please Krishna. Well, in the material world, the peacocks do it to please themselves. Remember, I think we were at New Vrindavan, and they had peacocks there. And, you know, it's quite a big place and not so many, you know, 5,000 acres. And, you know, so there's plenty of space where there's nobody. So the peacocks are there and nobody's there, right? And so the whole point is that when you dance, someone should appreciate it, right? So then when we came there, then the peacocks all come around and stand right in front of you, put out their feathers, and they dance. And if at any time you look somewhere else, they whack you with their tail. You know, and so you look back at them, then they go back to their dancing. Because it's like they're dancing, you're going to watch. You know, so that's the thing. Here they have, there they're trying to do it, the police. But they're, you know. So, yeah, so they like to come around, and that's their, just their nature. But in the spiritual world, they do that to please Krishna. Oh, friends, taste that dancing, singing, and flute playing. We desire to see all those creatures, beasts, and birds, the deer and doves, assembled on the hilltops, who have become stunned in bliss. So it's not only that Krishna himself directly gives them happiness, right? That's not just the Udipans, right? But there's also the indirect. It means there's what's that which is touching Krishna. It means his flute, his clothes, and those things that are right there and interacting. Then there's those things that they are have something to do with Krishna's doing that. So just the beast, birds, deer, and doves assembles on the hilltops to become stunned in bliss. They want to see that also, because that's also Udipan for Krishna's, you know, their inspiration in their devotional service. So that's the whole thing. Whatever is Krishna, whatever is connected to Krishna, anything is inspirational to them. So it's not that, you know, it's just, you know, us in the front and everything else is useless. No, that's, that they would like to be, but it's anything is inspiring them. They're appreciating all the devotees' service. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book regarding the gopis' knowledge of Vaikuntha and the piety necessary for attaining personal interaction with the Lord. Although the gopis were village cowherd women and girls, they had extensive Vedic knowledge, such as the effect of Vedic civilization. People in general would learn the highest truths of the Vedas simply by hearing from authoritative sources. So it would be a standard thing in the village life that someone in the evening tells all the nice stories from the Puranas and other things. And so in that, you're going to hear all these details. And so then it's just a matter of remembering the details. Right? So they know all these things. But when we say that they're just simple cowgirls, means they're not scholars. They don't need a scholastic approach to appreciate Krishna. That may be seen in the Shanta Rasa, but not in theirs. It's just simply they love Krishna because of how wonderful he is. Not that they don't have knowledge, but that's the knowledge is not the impetus for their love. Right? For someone in Shanta, it is. Hearing the scriptures, hearing the descriptions, hearing the glories, it's an inspiration for them. But for the gopis, it's inspiring, but what are they thinking of? The person. It's not because it's the Shastra, it's not because of the technicalness of it. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's more complete. In other words, it keeps going. So that one is impressed in any way connected to Krishna, excuse me, that's good. But they take it even further where it's about the love that overshadows the knowledge. Not that they don't have knowledge, it's just it's overshadowed. Another gopi said, "Blessed are all those foolish deer because they have approached Maharaj Nanda's son, who is gorgeously dressed and is playing on his flute. Indeed, both the doe and the bucks worship the Lord with looks of love and affection." Srila Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, another gopi said, "My dear friends, just see the deer. Although they are dumb animals, they have approached the son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna. Not only are they attracted by the dress of Krishna and Balaram, but as soon as they hear the playing of the flute, the deer, along with their husbands, offer respectful obeisances unto the Lord by looking at him with great affection. The gopis were envious of the deer because the deer were able to offer their service to Krishna along with their husbands. The gopis thought themselves not so fortunate because whenever they wanted to go to Krishna, their husbands were not very happy." Right? So we see is those aspects that the acharyas bring out on these side back points that then here Prabhupada brought it out here in the Krishna book. So it's that the gopis said, oh, see the fortune of them, and they're able to worship with their husbands, but actually they're jealous that they can do that and they can't. Another gopi said, "Krishna's beauty and character create a festival for all women. Indeed, when the demigods' wives flying in airplanes with their husbands catch sight of him and hear his resonant flute song, their hearts are shaken by Cupid, and they become so bewildered that the flowers fall out of their hair and their belts loosen. BBT Purport states, even while sitting on the laps of their demigod husbands, the demigoddesses become agitated by hearing the sounds of Krishna's flute. Thus the gopis thought that they themselves should not be blamed for their ecstatic conjugal attraction for Krishna, who after all was a cowherd boy from their own village, and thus a natural object of their love. Right? So if even the demigoddesses are having the same effect, then why should anybody complain about theirs? Doesn't mean that they'll reveal it, but they're just, you know, you have to be comfortable. Yes.
When Krishna plays the flute, everybody hears it differently. And not always everybody hears it. Like in the middle of the night, only the gopis hear it. And here.
But does it matter when they're hearing, or whenever they hear?
No, that's not that thing. Right now.
It may be right now, but he's playing in the day, so why they couldn't hear? Because that everybody can hear. So like you said, at night he plays, maybe only the gopis can hear. Or maybe it's that they could hear, but everybody else is asleep, so that's why they don't hear. Like that. If even demigoddesses became mad after Krishna, how could poor earthly cowherd girls from Krishna's own village avoid having their hearts completely conquered by his loving glances and the sounds of his flute? The gopis also considered that the demigods, although noting their wives' attraction to Krishna, did not become envious. The demigods are actually very refined in culture and intelligence, and therefore when flying in their airplanes, they regularly take their wives along to see Krishna. The gopis thought, our husbands, on the other hand, are envious. Therefore, even the inferior deer are better off than we. And the demigoddesses are also very fortunate, whereas we poor human beings in an intermediate position are most unfortunate. Right? So those above, those below, they're all fortunate, but them being in the middle then are not, right? Because they don't have that opportunity. But they're able to see how everyone's attracted to Krishna. That's the whole point, is everyone's attracted to Krishna. Everyone's worshiping Krishna. Right? But in here, they don't have to take it into the intellectual aspect about other things around, because they're just taking what's there in Vrindavan. But the point is the rivers are happy, the trees are happy, the bamboos are happy, like that. And this one, they didn't mention the creepers because it was in connection with the flute. Flute's masculine. And so, therefore, then they're not going to mention the creepers, which are feminine. Since the trees are masculine and therefore are their enemies, they're not going to mention them like that. Does that make sense? But the mother, you know, the mother of the flute, then you have to throw her in because you can't ignore her. Right? So there's that cultural aspect. Yeah. Srila Sanatana Goswami writes, the next four verses describe the words of other gopis, describing cows, birds, rivers, and clouds. So up to now it appears that it's been Radharani. Because that was Sanatana Goswami who said that it was Radharani. Right? No? Or was it Jiva? Oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, no, but they indicated that was Radharani. Yeah, Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami. Okay. So then here he's saying that it's that these next four verses describe words of other gopis, describing cows, birds, rivers, and clouds. Or one can explain the verse as a continuation of what was previously written. In other words, as the verses proceed, lesser and lesser individuals are gradually described. Though there should be nothing inferior in Braja to the women from heaven or spiritual objects, flute and or dham, because the colorful motions of prema, they make these verses by selecting certain details to express their misfortune. There is good fortune for exalted women of heaven. Thus, there is also good fortune for the animals, humans, and cows who can see Krishna. So just carrying on from the previous one about how the deer The does are fortunate because they can worship Krishna with their husband. The demigoddesses are fortunate because they can worship with their husband. So they extend that on to show how everything else in Vrindavan is so fortunate because they can worship Krishna. Like that.
So we see in this description that, you know, some living animals, they have a touch of Madhurya, but it's not their main rasa.
No, but it can also, yes. But it could, whatever it is, it can't be in that, but they'll be seeing it from that. So with the demigoddesses, they'll have that aspect of those, but it doesn't specifically say what's there, because the whole of Vrindavan, the overall flavor is that of Madhurya. So all the other rasas are there to support Madhurya. But it's not a prominent thing, it's not an obvious thing. It's a hidden thing, because it's all about Radha and Krishna. And so all these other aspects are there to just bring out that affection.
So could it be that what gopis say, it's not what that they say it about? They don't actually feel that.
No. It's not that the doe is thinking, I'm so fortunate I can go here with Krishna with my husband while the gopis can't. No, they're just attracted by Krishna's flute, and so they go.
So it's a reflection of their own bhav in other living animals.
Yes. That's the whole thing. That's the effect of this mahabhav. It has that where you project this on others. Just like when we get into the total, full, absolute absorption in materialism, then we project on everything else that it must think the way we do. Like that. And the more you pull back, then the more you see that they don't. So therefore, because it's the lowest here, it's the highest there. Another gopi said, using their upraised ears as vessels, the cows are drinking the nectar of the flute song flowing out of Krishna's mouth. The calves, their mouths full of milk from their mother's moist nipples, stand still as they take Govinda within themselves through their tear-filled eyes and embrace him with their hearts. Is there a sign out on the main road naming when the timings of our classes, you know?
Now it seems to be like
all day,
pieces.
Yeah. Just all thinking, the guards, when these guys come, say, no, you have to wait another 15 minutes, class hasn't started yet.
And they block certain ways inside the campus, so they all go here. And this is the shortest, because you mentioned that road.
Yeah.
But Bengalis, they calculate.
Yeah.
They never take, you know, another 5-meter road.
Yeah.
They go... Yeah. They got anything.
Yes, like the drivers when they get to Calcutta try to go straight through because it's only 5 kilometers, while the go along will be 15, but it takes 3 hours, while the other one only takes 1 hour. Yeah.
Priorities.
Yes, priorities.
That's why a white guy doesn't have a chance to take the Bengali. Because the Bengali, he will take it for an hour for one group. It's worth it.
Yeah. And it's also fun.
Yeah.
You don't haggle, they get. I mean, you don't see it as much here.
No.
But I've heard that in the whole kind of Arab scene, if you don't haggle, they get upset.
It's an insult. Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the fun.
This is a personal relationship we're having here.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's what it was. Because this one guy in London, it's a shop in London, but the guy himself is, where is he from? He's from somewhere in the Middle East. You know, he's one of those, he came to London like 50 years ago or something like that, one of those. And they're going about, and he says a price. And I just really didn't want to pay that, so I said something ridiculously low. He got such a smile on his face. He turned to the person who I'm with and said, "See?" He says, "I like this guy." You know,
this is life.
Yeah, you know, it's just like that. And then he says his price after that. You know, you get to, you know, like that. So he was really happy because everyone else, he goes, "It's this much," and then they just give you the money. So,
or go away.
Yeah. You know, here it says, "No." Yeah, I didn't realize that. Yeah, because he was okay. Yeah, okay. Okay. The gopis describe the cows which have maternal affection, which is contrary to their madhurya bhava, in order to hide their emotions as previously. So then that answers what you were saying, is that they are hiding their conjugal emotions by bringing out these others. So they're saying they're this, they're that. It means they would like to be, you know, filling their ears with the nectar of Krishna and seeing Krishna and dancing with Krishna. So all these other rasas, the cowherd boys, they're seeing in that way, but they want to do those activities, but in their... So it's the same activity that they would like to be doing, but it's they cover it by using another rasa. Does that make sense?
Is that like the sattvika bhava example we were before, that you have anubhavas and then they're flavored by the sattvika bhava? Is that similar?
No, sattvika bhavas will be when the life airs are so intense that they create a change in the body. These would be sanchari. Yeah. Sanchari is an anu, like that. You know, it's like the couple regularly go out for dinner, go out to, you know, somewhere. But then the wife, she wants to go out, but she won't say that, you know, I feel like I'd like to go out tonight, because then if he doesn't, so then she'll say, "We never go out. Why don't we ever go out?" And then when he goes, "What do you mean? We always go out." Then she gets upset, you know, like that. "What happened? What did I say? We never go out. You know, I mean, we always go out." You know, it's like that. You know, what's wrong? You know, it's like that. He's supposed to say, "Oh, okay." You know, and then, you know, either ask where, you know, "So what do you think? Where would you like to go?" If she has an idea, he says, "Oh, I don't know." Then he has to come up with ideas like that. So it's all that. It's all the indirectness.
It should be manual, right?
Yeah, well, they tried. Because the principle is not there, they can't get the detail. So yeah, should be a manual. Yeah, what do you call it? The 16-volume Oxford Dictionary, the complete, you know, like that. Yes, here's the manual. Just study up on this before you get married.
Yeah.
Like that.
Then people will think about it.
Yeah, but that'll take forever. No, we're talking about, you know, the two lives after this. So you start reading now and you'll be ready.
But then it'll change again.
No, the principles.
The principles.
Right. No, I'm just talking. Sorry? Yes, a lifetime in preparation. Yes. Yes, yes. Okay. However, their words are suitable since there's no contradiction with the general affection that mothers show. Right? Because that's the point, is the Brajabasis, they all have that general affection. And then that affection that mothers show for this, it's natural. So there's no contradiction, though it doesn't have the conjugal aspect. Right? Just like they're projecting onto the flute, he's drinking all the nectar which is meant for them. And he's a male, how is he doing that? But he doesn't see that his rasa is not conjugal. Right? Like that, because he'll be an extension, I think, would be a Balarama, like this. So then it'll have that kind of a thing. Even the cows, famous among the people for not being able to distinguish the good from the bad, relish the sound of his flute, which comes from his moon-like mouth, endowed with more nectar than billions of moons, which also have nectar. Krishna is the intense embodiment of the highest bliss. They simply stand stunned, overcome by sattvika bhavas. Right? So when that becomes intense, they become stunned like that. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur adds, "One cannot say that the bewilderment from the flute is generated only from conjugal desire of the female only. See the example of the cows and their calves. In fearing of spilling the nectar, the cows have raised their ears like cups to hear the flute," right? Because they have those long ears that are like cups. So they'll put them up a little bit. That way then the nectar won't flow out. Right? The cause of bewilderment is not just Vatsalya Bhava towards Krishna, for the calves also, without Vatsalya Bhava, were bewildered. The calves who had just begun to drink their mother's milk on hearing the flute pricked up their ears to drink that sound also. Not able to drink the udder milk, the milk fell from their open mouths and they stood as if stunned. Right, so whatever the mood of the particular devotee, then it's not a problem. Whatever the mood. And so then yes, whatever the mood, then it's all going to be appreciated by the different devotees according to their rasa, because we said the flute is the favorite thing of everybody in Vrindavan, because all rasas appreciate it. Right? Then there'll be specifics. Other than that, many of them are common, some of them are specific, like that. Another gopi said, "O mother, in this forest all the birds have risen into the beautiful branches of the trees to see Krishna. With closed eyes they are simply listening in silence to the sweet vibrations of his flute, and they are not attracted by any other sound. Surely these birds are on the same level as great sages." Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The gopis consider, "All these birds must be munis. See how they sit in the forest with closed eyes in silence, perched on the branches of the tree. They are listening to the flute. The branches, hearing the flute song and by the touch of the muni's feet, begin to sprout new leaves out of ecstasy. This song agitates the whole universe. It arises only from Krishna, not from Indra, Brahma, Shiva, or Vishnu. As it is unique, being very old, traveling all over without obstruction, continuing for a long time, and being fully conversant with musical theory. Is it possible anyone else can sing like this? No, this song arises from Krishna alone. Neither Brahma, Vishnu, or Shiva can make this song. They cannot even understand the musical science created by Krishna. Thus, the birds or munis, with their eyes closed, are absorbed in relishing this never-before-heard song." Right? So, just as even here, an Indian classical musician, a well-trained one, every time he plays a particular raga, it'll never be played the same twice. So, imagine, Krishna, if Radharani in cooking, will never cook the same way twice. So Krishna, when he plays the flute, it will never be exactly the same twice. There's always something unique to it. And so the munis, then, because they have great knowledge in that, they will simply be absorbed trying to appreciate and understand. Mm-hmm. So this, it doesn't come from Brahma or Shiva or Vishnu. None of them can do what Krishna is doing. That's why the uniqueness of, it's one of the qualities that Krishna has that no one else has, is that ability. They all know music, and they all can play music very well, but they can't play like what Krishna is playing on his flute. The grammar of that is something that only Krishna can appreciate. It means he can do. Radharani, of course, will have the natural companion for that kind of music, so the two of them can play together. But it basically, other than them, no one else. Yeah. Another gopi said, "When the rivers hear the flute song of Krishna, their minds began to desire him, and thus the flow of their currents is broken, and their waters are agitated, moving around in whirlpools. Then, with the arms of their waves, the rivers embrace Murari's lotus feet, and holding on to them, present offerings of lotus flowers." Srila Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, "Even the river Jamuna, being desirous of embracing the lotus feet of Krishna, after hearing the transcendental vibration of his flute, broke her first fierce waves to flow very nicely with lotus flowers in her hands, just to present flowers to Mukunda with deep feeling." So they're taking all these nice things that are there, and you see they see them in connection with Krishna. So this is what's meant by the indirect. They can see everything and makes them think of Krishna. And they'll see it in the context of their relationship with Krishna, but they'll present it in the relationship of the other. Right? So it's all very nicely done. Another gopi said, in the company of Balaram and the cowherd boys, Lord Krishna is continually vibrating his flute as he herds all the animals of Braja, even under the full heat of the summer sun. Seeing this, the cloud in the sky has expanded himself out of love. He is rising high and constructing out of his own body, with its multitude of flower-like droplets of water, an umbrella for the sake of his friend. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The gopi considered, the cloud increased its size out of prema to cover Balaram and Krishna, Krishna and the cowherd boys from the intense heat of the sun. The cloud made a light umbrella over his friend Krishna with his body and a collection of water drops. The cloud regarded himself as Krishna's friend because they were so similar. They both take away suffering by a shower of rasa. They are both dark-colored and both give off sweet sounds. In this way, the cloud gives happiness to Krishna, but we cannot. How unfortunate we are, right? So the cloud can do all these nice things, but the gopis can't. So they're just seeing that lamentation and all that. So we see in this lamentation, it brings about the highest ecstasy. So this principle of how you say, the socially women being identified with Shudras in the position that they always lament, then is not a fault on the transcendental platform. On the material platform, then it becomes a problem. But on the spiritual platform, then it's the highest ecstasy. Right? Does that make sense? So we see, all it is these things that are there in the spiritual world, then when they come here, we don't use them for Krishna, we use them for ourselves. That's why they become perverted. That's why then they become a problem here. But if we see them in relationship to Krishna consciousness, we see them in relationship to the proper, you know, the recommended dealings and everything like that, then there's not a problem with that. Because this is just the way it is. Right? Does that make sense?
The gopis, you know, they have intense feeling for Krishna. And you will find that the poetry is very outstanding. Something that's completely different that they're coming across.
Means their poetry is very different from others.
It's very unique.
Yes, because it's just because it's expressing their particular mood. That's the idea, is that if you have that affection for Krishna and see things in connection with Krishna, then how you'll explain things will be very nice. So therefore all devotees are poetic. But the poetry we see of the gopis then will be unique.
Because it's one of the finest details, you know, each and every aspect of.
Yes. Yes. You know, because we see here is all the grammatical aspects are left out because they would most likely be lost on us. Because I'm sure the acharyas could take each syllable that they've written here and give so much description, but they describe how much we can, you know, get some idea of. Another gopi said, the aborigine women of the Vrindavan area become disturbed by lust when they see the grass marked with reddish kumkum powder, endowed with the color of Krishna's lotus feet. This powder originally decorated the breast of his beloveds. And when the aborigine women smear it on their face and breasts, they feel fully satisfied and give up their anxiety. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, leaving aside the attraction of the flute, this verse speaks of the lotus feet of Sri Radha, which have the power by which merely slight contact to induce complete attraction to Krishna and raise one to the seventh level of prema called Madana in Mahabhava. The Pulinda women have reached perfection. We have not. We desire to inquire about their austerities. This is the hint in the gopi statement about the perfection of the Pulinda woman. Why are they perfect? They smear on their faces and breasts the kumkuma which has dyed the feet of Krishna. Where did this kumkuma come from? From the breast of his beloved Radha. Though we are desiring to praise their good fortune, not being able to be so bold, we instead praise the Pulinda women. Though that is indeed the kumkuma of Radha, out of great attraction, the Pulindas do not even give proper respect. What did they do? Seeing the kumkuma which was smeared on the grass, they developed lust. I do not know what would happen if they saw Krishna. Then, with the desire to receive the fragrance of Krishna's body, they smear it on their faces. And then, with the desire for the enjoyment given by Krishna to Radha, they smear it on their breasts, thinking that they were being enjoyed by Krishna. In this way, the pain of their lust was pacified. That kumkuma has a special power in it. In all our births, we have not received it even once. Footnote 26. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborately explains where this kumkum powder came from. Since this is prior to the rasa dance, which was their first intimate meeting, it is explained that in this particular circumstance, Sri Radha was in the forest, and when she heard Krishna's flute, she fainted. To relieve her of fainting, he reverentially touched her kumkuma-covered breast with a petal which had touched his foot. This being the first time he touched her, he then left quickly since he was still feeling shy. Some gopis spoke privately, verse 3. Those same gopis speak this verse, thus they refer to Radha. So verse 3 was 453. When the young ladies in the cowherd village of Braja hear the song of Krishna's flute, which arouses the influence of Cupid, some of them privately began describing Krishna's qualities to their intimate friends. Okay, and then Jiva Goswami describes that's Radha. Okay. In speaking this verse, they all indicate that they have purva anuraga, attraction before directly meeting. Because there is absence of envy, even if another gopi has association, it only doubles their attraction. So just they're attracted, and then even someone else is with Krishna, it creates more attraction. Another gopi said, "Of all the devotees, this Govardhan hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities, water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant." Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, the gopis said, "How fortunate is this Govardhan Hill, for it is enjoying the association of Lord Krishna and Balaram, who are accustomed to walking on it. Thus, Govardhan is always in touch with the lotus feet of the Lord. And because Govardhan Hill is so obliged to Lord Krishna and Balaram, it is supplying different kinds of fruits, roots, and herbs, as well as very pleasing crystal water from its lakes, in presentation to the Lord. The best presentation offered by Govardhan Hill, however, is newly grown grass for the cows and calves. Govardhan Hill knows how to please the Lord by pleasing his most beloved associates, the cows and the cowherd boys." Another gopi said, "My dear friends, as Krishna and Balaram pass through the forest with their cowherd friends, leading the cows, they carry ropes to bind the cows' rear legs at the time of milking. When Lord Krishna plays on his flute, the sweet music causes the moving living entities to become stunned and the non-moving trees to tremble with ecstasy." Right? So those that are moving stop moving, those that are immovable start moving. Depends, that might be Satvika, you know, especially when they become stunned like this, they can't move. The point is that some of these are overlapping. The same thing can be in any three of them. These things are certainly very wonderful. Right? So the wonderfulness, that's then essentially. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "We should not delay in attempting to meet this flute player, for in herding the cows he can go far away. With this intention they speak this verse." To indicate that they were in the mood of serving, the ka is added to gopa. Thus, the word indicates that the cowherd boys were protecting Krishna with love. Another indication of the word is that they went with Krishna every morning. Mother Jashoda brought them together for this purpose. While Krishna played the flute, they wandered from forest to forest, herding the cows. This produced a very wonderful scene. What was so wonderful? When those who moved about in bodies hear that flute sound, they become motionless. The trees, in having their hair stand on end, adopt the quality of moving beings. Near yoga, pasha is a type of rope used to restrain the calves at milking time. By that rope, Krishna and Balaram attained special beauty. The rope, bound with pearls and flowers in two directions in their yellow silk turbans, signified them as cowherd boys. This was attractive to the viewer. So they have it's not a very long rope. It'll be a very soft kind of rope. You know, very easy. You can tie a knot. It'll hold. So it's not a stiff. It'll be, you know, something of a softer. But they're generally quite fat. And then that's wound up because it's not so long. They keep that on the shoulder. And so then that makes a very attractive thing. So that is something that then you can identify them as cowherds because they always carry that rope with them. So this is very attractive. Right? Sukadeva Goswami concluded, thus narrating to one another the playful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he wandered about in the Vrindavan forest, the gopis became fully absorbed in thoughts of him. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. While Krishna was engaged in tending the cows in the forest of Vrindavan, or on Govardhan Hill, the gopis in the village were always absorbed in thinking of him and discussed his different pastimes. This is the perfect example of Krishna consciousness, to somehow or other remain always engrossed in thoughts of Krishna. The vivid example is always present in the behaviors of the gopis. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya declared that no one can worship the Supreme Lord by any method which is better than the method of the gopis. Right? So many can worship the Lord, and that's all bona fide, but no one can do it in a better method than the gopis. Right? So that's also the principle of how you can come down and see all living entities connected and all serving Krishna. So everyone's serving Krishna, but it's just, what is then serving just, you're serving on the platform of just your senses, then that platform is still serving Krishna, but you don't know it, right, because of ignorance. Then in pranamaya you extend it to include others, and so then you're still doing that service by extending it to the social and considering all those economic and other aspects. But, you know, it still has a weakness there, because there's lack of knowledge. So these two levels are considered atheistic. Because right, they're not based on Shastra. Then when you get to Dharma, the third level, then it's based on Scripture, so it's considered theistic because you accept the authority of the Lord and the Scriptures. Right? So then even if you engage yourself in Artha and Kama, it's based on the authority of the Scriptures. So you're doing it from the position of Dharma. That's why they'll be situated there, even though they're engaging the senses. Right? So then that's high, because then they understand it comes from the Lord. And then the jnanis, then they'll understand the transcendental position of the Lord and of the soul. But it's not till you get to bhakti that then now we can say is now it actually starts to be serious service. It's favorable service. The others can be recommended or they're not recommended, but whatever, you have to follow the rules that go with them to be successful. But when you come to bhakti, then that becomes the nice thing. And then of those within bhakti, then you have so many levels, and then of that, then the gopis will be the highest. Right? So that's why, technically, Vaishnavas don't have problem dealing with anybody. Right? But if they're trying to establish something that's lower as higher, then they don't appreciate that. Yes.
Can we say then that our inability to see how someone else is connected with Krishna, that is Mahamaya?
Yes, it's some covering of Maya. Yeah. It's Mahamaya, yes. But how much we're covered by that, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. But yes, that's the thing. The gopis were not born in a very high Brahmin or Kshatriya families. They were born in the families of Vaishyas, and not in big mercantile communities, but in the families of cowherd men, right? So they were not the city traders and that. They were not very well educated, although they heard all sorts of knowledge from the Brahmanas, the authorities of Vedic knowledge. So they didn't go systematically through. They just heard it at programs and festivals and in the being recited and that. And this way then they knew. The gopis' only purpose was to remain always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. So that's the point of saying that one follows in the footsteps of the gopis. That means that one is absorbed like they are absorbed. Right? So it doesn't mean that one is in the conjugal rasa with Krishna. It just means that like they are always absorbed, we should try to be absorbed. And in that way, all Vaishnavas appreciate the exalted position of the gopis.
So this sounds like a description of eternal associates, not those who came by sadhana or anything. So this is their svarupa, so their absorption.
Yes, but the others will get to that by association. Because the whole thing is when you take seriously your progress in Krishna consciousness, then you get the association of the eternal associates. And if you don't, you're distracted by the secondary elements of Vrindavan, then you don't get their association. So once it becomes awoken, then you'll get their association. And then from that, then you'll catch their mood, then you'll move on, and then you'll get the association of Krishna. So that's why we're reading this, so we can understand how the eternal associates look at it. So then we can see that constant absorption and seeing everything connected to Krishna. You know, and how you can find what's favorable for serving Krishna.
So for us, it's just an example for a matter of practice, right?
Because this is coming from how they feel, then they're speaking. So it's not that we can practice just writing poetry or things like that. It's the sadhana of it's our sadhana, and that we always try to be absorbed in the Lord, remembering the Lord by remembering his pastimes with his associates. Because what are they doing? They're seeing all the associates of the Lord and how they're serving Krishna and remembering Krishna in that way. So we can always remember Krishna by remembering his associates and their service to Krishna. So in that way, it's our sadhana. But to be able to make up the prayers and do that, that's not our sadhana, that's their service.
Because here, even in indirect, they see direct. But for us, to find direct, it takes a lot of effort.
Yes, but we can see things in connection with his associates. Meaning we can remember Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan with his associates.
Yeah.
That we can do. And then if we can and learn the other things, but that's what was being described in the Gita and the early cantos of Bhagavatam, is how you can see how Krishna is in everything. And so then the gopis, that's the point, they can see Krishna in anything. See it always related to him, and remember him as a person. So they don't sit around and chant Om. They don't have that problem.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Samaveta Bhakti ki Jai Nitai Gaur ki Jai Nitai Gaur ki